Thanks for checking out the Candeo podcast. To learn more about us, visit us at candeochurch.com.
Thank you, Lydia, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to Candeo on this particular Sunday morning. For those of you who I haven't met or don't recognize this old guy standing in front of you, I'm Dave Nee. I'm one of our non-staff elders. Many of you probably know my wife better because she has a much more visible role here at Candeo. She is the head of our kids ministry, so she's working today. And one of the other things that's pretty exciting from our standpoint is back on Friday, my wife and I celebrated our 38th anniversary. So I'm assuming all of that clapping is for her because she's put up with me for that long. But we have been richly blessed in so many ways. And it's a great opportunity to be with you this morning. By the way, because I am not one of the regular teachers here, one of the more regular teachers, Jake Herring, was here this morning. And what he said to me was kind of interesting. He said, he called me a loose cannon. So whatever happens from here, please send your comments to jherring@candeochurch.com. It is a great opportunity to open God's Word together. Excited to do that. Galatians chapter 4, one of the ongoing themes has been about false teachers and the possibility that they have an influence in our lives. And of course, that stands out to me because what do I do for a living? I teach. At Waterloo Christian School, high school history teacher, and I recognize the responsibility that I have to try and influence and teach truth to today's younger generation. It's a great privilege, but there's quite a bit of irony as I read through these particular verses in Galatians that we will take a look at this morning, because Paul is once again speaking from a little bit of a different standpoint. We have watched in the last several Sundays, as we have gone through this book, we have watched as Paul has laid out some common sense and theological arguments of why they should be careful about following the Judaizers who have come into Galatia and talk to them about you need more than just salvation. You need to live by the Mosaic law as well. And Paul has argued against that and laid all of these things out to them. But at this particular passage that we are looking at this morning, the tone has changed a little bit. Judaizers have talked to the Galatians about the need that they be circumcised. But Paul's theological arguments are going to end, and he's going to enter into a more relational argument with them. He banks on relational capital that he has built up with these believers from previous visits. But before I dive more into today's text, I want to share with you an illustration I found this week from C.S. Lewis's classic book. Hopefully many of you have actually read it or at least looked at it. It's called Mere Christianity. Mere Christianity. Lewis writes this: imagine yourself as a living house. God comes in to rebuild, remodel that house. No easy task, right, for those of you who have done that? At first, perhaps you can understand what he is doing. He's getting the drains right and stopping the leaks in the roof and so on. You knew that those jobs needed doing, and so you're not surprised. But presently, he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts abominably and does not seem to make sense. What on earth is he up to? The explanation is that he is building quite a different house from the one you thought of. Throwing out a new wing here, putting on an extra floor there, running up towers, making courtyards. You thought you were going to be made into a decent little cottage. But he is building up a palace. He intends to come and live in it himself. What Lewis is pointing out is that you and I are so often bound or limited by what we have experienced or can see with our own eyes or maybe even can imagine. God's not limited by any of that. In fact, he's operating on his plan and accomplishing his purposes in our lives and in our world. And God had revealed in his word, our Bible, just how he is going to do that. Our new spiritual life with God begins when we place our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross for salvation. Galatians has told us that over and over again. It is faith alone. And that decision starts us on a journey we never did or could imagine as God builds that palace that Lewis just talked about. Sometimes, you know, it may surprise you, you don't always do things that are logical or make a lot of sense. I, of course, always do, but you don't. In other words, sometimes the other person wins the argument. Their argument makes perfect sense. They're right, and we know they're right. But that doesn't prevent us from following the path we are presently walking because it's just what I want to do. So just in case that is the truth for the Galatians, here's Paul in verses 12 through 14. You should see those up on the screen behind me. I beg you, brothers and sisters, become like me, for I also became like you. You have not wronged me. You know that previously I preached the gospel to you because of a weakness of the flesh. You did not despise or reject me, though my physical condition was a trial for you. On the contrary, you received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself. So we won't spend a lot of time talking about Paul's so-called weakness of the flesh. Bible scholars still speculating about what exactly that might have been. We had a bit of a discussion among the elder team when I sat down with them, but Scripture doesn't state it specifically as far as what it was. But these verses do start on that theme that I mentioned a little bit earlier, relational capital. Paul knows these people, and he is writing to them. Paul is asking these believers to remember where it started with him. Paul became like them. He shared the gospel. He lived among them. And the Galatians received that gospel and Paul. The message resonated with them. The truth grabbed hold of them and their hearts and their minds. And most importantly, it changed their lives. And just like we have witnessed hundreds of times on this particular stage, when people receive the gospel and their lives are changed, the messenger who brought that gospel to them becomes someone very special in their lives. Maybe even ends up on this stage baptizing them as a new believer. And I don't know about you, but those have always been some of the most special mornings that we have spent here at Candale. These messengers that brought us the truth are part of our spiritual journey. In my case, yes, I can remember back to my years in college at Drake University, and people like Jim Makey and Scott Beckwith and Bill Weber and Jan Foley. And I'm guessing none of those names mean anything to any of you, but are forever here in my heart because they took the time to to share the truth of the gospel with a college student who had a lot of questions and needed Jesus in his life. There are many others through my 45 years as a believer that have spoken truth into my life, creating those similar eternal bonds. There's nothing else like it. That's what Paul had with the Galatians. That's what he's referring to in these verses. It's the work of God and the gospel in our lives leading to deep and lasting relationships. And Paul is writing this, and I'm reading this and studying this in the last couple of weeks, and let me assure you that this particular man is far from being good or gifted at relationships. I'm a natural introvert, and you people challenge the heck out of me. I have so much more I need to grow into in this particular area. But that's the kind of relationship that Paul is referencing in these particular verses. Paul is reminding the Galatians of the life-changing relationship the gospel created. Not just for these new believers with God, but also the bond that is created between believers here on earth. There is nothing else like it. In fact, the bond is so special. Let's take a look at those next couple of verses. 15 and 16 in this particular passage. Where then is your blessing? For I testify to you that if possible, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. So then, have I become your enemy because I told you the truth? Just in these couple of verses, Paul begs his brothers and sisters again, using a little bit of a different tack. He believes they would have torn out their eyes for him. Now, this is maybe not actual, right? Most of us don't volunteer. I'm not ready to tear out my eyes for very many of you sitting in this auditorium. Okay? Sorry if that bothers you. Again, Jay Herring at CandeoChurch.com. Let me be honest. Paul is saying that this is how close the relationship was with these particular Galatians. As he writes this letter, Paul is sensing a change, and this book points us to the influence of false teachers or the Judaizers in bringing about that change. He's seeing something, and it worries him significantly. It's probably never happened to you in a relationship, right, with various people, where all of a sudden they start to head out on a different path, and it worries you, it concerns you, you wonder about, is this the right thing? Yeah, that's what Paul is sensing. And in the remaining chapters of Galatians, Paul is going to talk to these believers about what it is like to walk by the Spirit. You see, that's different than what had typically been taking place in this particular time. Remember, Christianity is new. The things that Paul is talking about, there aren't very many visible examples. He couldn't send them to too many people who had experienced what Paul is talking about. The church and this relationship with Jesus Christ is a new thing. But Paul's going to go into detail about this new life that they received when they accepted Christ as their Savior. So these new believers at this particular point, because there aren't many tangible examples to follow and live by, there aren't books like we have. Mere Christianity was not yet written. So they're susceptible to what was tangible from a lifestyle perspective. In other words, what they could see and touch. And that was Mosaic law, these Judaizers. It made sense to them. And what the false teachers were selling, or as C.S. Lewis's illustration called it, building a decent little cottage. So as I studied this passage, that's why verse 16 seems to me to be the key verse. Let's look at it again. So then, have I become your enemy because I told you the truth? Let's remember Paul's story up until this point. He stood before governmental authorities, and in Acts we can read about him taking responsibility for living strictly according to Mosaic law, arresting and even approving the execution of Christians, standing by as it took place. Paul had lived the life these Galatians were being drawn to by Judaizers, and he was passionately telling them, it's the wrong way. Don't go there. It's not satisfying. And he wanted to rescue them from taking that path. Paul wanted to protect them from taking the wrong path, and he wanted them to stay on the path of following Jesus and living by the Spirit that had been placed in all of them upon salvation. Paul was urging them to consider an idea similar to what I was reading this week in the book of Proverbs. Here's chapter 14 and verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a person, but its end is the way to death. And it doesn't make sense for us to pursue that path to death, does it? In chapter 15 of Proverbs, it actually says more about this idea that you and I should listen to people who speak the gospel into our lives. It really is for our best. Here are verses 31 and 32 from chapter 15. One who listens to life-giving rebukes will be at home among the wise. Anyone who ignores discipline despises himself, but whoever listens to correction acquires good sense. That's the path you and I and God actually wants us to be on in our spiritual journey as we sit here this morning. For believers here in the room, remember back to when you were first saved. Remember the excitement, the passion you felt, and how this new relationship changed your daily habits. Like maybe who you hung out with, or where even you hung out, or maybe even the language that you used, because all of a sudden you were aware that those things needed to be changed. But those initial feelings, they tend to wear off. Or maybe I can even get to the point where someone telling me the truth of the scriptures can be someone I turn away from. Maybe even like Paul wrote, become an enemy. Because I won't listen to them. I might even fight against them. You and I need to be reminded of who we were before we knew Christ. We can't forget our pride and selfishness and greed and lust and all of the other sins that marked our lives and that God pointed out to us we needed a Savior to be rescued from. And the path that we were walking was that path to death. Paul was reminding us in the Galatians why we all need a Savior. And of course, that Savior is Jesus Christ. And nothing that we could do would have changed that. It's been said more than once from this stage, the only thing you and I bring to our salvation is our sin. I need to be reminded of that truth and not be upset by the messenger that brings that truth to me. We need to be willing to create a home for ourselves among the wise because we are willing to listen to the truth. In verses 17 and 18 then of Galatians, Paul continues to make the distinction between his message and those of the Judaizers. They court you eagerly, but not for good. They want to exclude you from me so that you would pursue them. but it is always good to be pursued in a good manner, and not just when I am with you. So one of the things as we're studying a passage that we do is we look at commentaries, and they point to the motives of the teachers that we submit to and what those might have been or might be. And Paul was encouraging the Galatians to use discernment and compare the motives of the Judaizers and what they were asking of the Galatians with the motives of Paul and the path of what he was calling them to. Please also notice that last phrase, and not just when I am with you. Our character, our integrity, by the way, I'm not introducing a new idea here, is measured by what we do and think and say, even when our boss or our teacher or our parent or our spouse or any other authority figure is not actually in the room with us. Am I and are we discerning enough to recognize where our teachers and leaders are directing us and know that it is the truth and it's the path that God wants us to take? Sometimes those require hard and difficult conversations and decisions, but they are necessary as God builds his palace in my life. Because I need to be remodeled. You know, the answer to that question, of course, a resounding yes. And I pray that it's easy for us as believers to choose the new way of life that Paul was talking about, the way of the Spirit, that we may not understand yet, but we know that God is calling us to. He does it all the time. Finally, in verses 19 and 20, then, Paul writes, "My children, I am again suffering labor pains for you until Christ is formed in you. I would like to be with you right now and change my tone of voice because I don't know what to do about you." My tone of voice hasn't been offending so far this morning, has it? But remember earlier in this particular book, Paul even talked to the Galatians. Didn't he use the term idiots? Oof, we can't say that today, can we? If I have offended you again, that's jherring@candeochurch.com. What I see from Paul in these last couple of verses is the passion he feels, but also the frustration. The emotional toil of shepherding people who don't always stay on the path, who don't always follow well, who are not always making logical choices. Remember how we are often called sheep in the New Testament. We can be led astray. You and I need pastors and teachers and fellow believers, a community to help us from straying. And for those entrusted with the responsibility of leading, it does take an emotional toil. Because those leaders also know God is going to hold them accountable for the lives entrusted to them. It is a heavenly and spiritual calling. So we've seen all of this in today's passage. What is it calling you and I to as believers in this, our sophisticated modern age? I saw three things I want to challenge us to consider this morning as we move forward, and again, look forward to what Paul's going to write about, the Spirit-filled life in the rest of the book of Galatians. First, what is my and what is our relationship with the truth? I told you earlier that as we claim to be Christians, I really see verse 16 as the key verse in this passage. Paul asks how the Galatians' relationship with him has changed when all he did was speak the truth to them. As I prepared with this passage over the last couple of weeks, one question kept coming up. Remember the line from Jack Nicholson on the witness stand? near the end of the movie, A Few Good Men, he defiantly tells Tom Cruise's character, "You can't handle the truth." And my question is, can I handle it? And this question has implications for us whether we are non-believers or believers. We know from John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus tells us that he is the truth. So do I know Jesus? And once I have taken the step to know him, am I willing to continue pursuing him and the truth he will inevitably speak into my life? Jesus pursues me after more than 45 years of knowing him. I'm confident he's doing the same thing in all of our lives this morning, if we've taken the step of accepting him as our Savior. That's the first step. So number one application, can you handle the truth? Because boy, sometimes it is not comfortable. The second thing for you and I to consider today is, how does God reveal that truth to you and I? What methods does he use? One way is actually taking place right now. It's not the only way, but God uses the teaching here at Candeo to open up and unpack the truth of God's word to all of us on a weekly basis. It is a great privilege of attending here. It is an awesome responsibility and privilege to stand on this stage and try and impart that to you. How do you and I respond to what happens? If all I do is walk out of here and go about my merry way without wrestling with the truth of what is taught and revealed by the Spirit and how I might apply it, then am I really letting God have the time and space to continue to transform my life? The palace still needs more construction work. And if I close off this avenue of transforming my life or don't take full advantage of it, how might God have to use other avenues to continue his sanctifying work? What does God have to do in my life to get my attention? And how about yours? I think all of those are really healthy questions to ask when we walk out of here on a Sunday morning, to spend time in our quiet times or on our walks or whenever we have alone time, when we can set aside other distractions and responsibilities. When do you and I really allow God the chance to speak to us and our hearts and for us to respond, like I did on that night for the first time back in the student union at Drake University in early 1979, to tell him I needed Jesus to forgive my sins and change me? I still need times like that today. I still need a Savior. So, first of all, can I handle the truth? Second of all, am I using very clear avenues of God's truth that God places before me to transform me? Third and finally, then, a thing you can consider from this message is, are you in a community where you hear the truth? People that are on that same journey with you. Earlier this morning, by the way, Leah, I told you would set me up well. Dakota and Leah were up here talking about our connection groups. These really are a place to build quality relationships and allow other people just like us and on a similar journey to speak into our lives and hold us accountable for the decisions we are making and the way we are living our lives. And guess what? For people to be able to do that in my life, for God to be able to use them to speak into my life in that fashion, I have to be willing to be real and authentic in those settings and with my life. I have to be willing to talk about my failures and sin. And if you are at all like me, the son of an old school father who modeled a lifestyle where men don't talk about their feelings and struggles. Can you imagine how much growing I still need to do? So God can use people who I know genuinely love me to speak truth into my life. It's a lot, by the way. Just ask my wife. Once you develop these kinds of relationships, though, these are the kind of relationships Paul is talking about in Galatians. Trusted settings. You can begin to understand even more the passion and frustration Paul was feeling and expressing in this morning's passage. He wanted to encourage the Galatians to stay on the right path, not be misled by false teachers, talking about a gospel that calls for a faith plus the Mosaic law to receive salvation. Paul doesn't want them to settle for the decent little cottage, rather than the palace God wants to build and where he wants to reside for all those that he loved and sacrificed for to bring them into that right relationship. And I know there are a lot of people sitting in these chairs this morning here at Candeo who want the same thing for every one of us. That's part of the reason why this is a great place to worship. Let me pray. Father, thanks for how intentional you are in our lives, how you put people and circumstances and the truth into our lives. Father, that you want to build in us and through us a palace that will be good enough for you to dwell in for the rest of our lives and for eternity. Father, help me and help us not to be willing to settle for that decent little cottage. Help us to trust you to do your work, your holy work in our lives throughout the rest of this week and our lives. And we pray in your son's name. Amen.
This has been a message from Candeo Church. To learn more about us or to hear more messages, visit us at candeochurch.com.